It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. Well, going to Wolf Ridge as a school trip is just kind of a tradition for students here in the Northland, and it's going to be even cooler for them to visit Wolf Ridge before too much longer. They've got coming up this Saturday a combination ribbon-cutting groundbreaking ceremony, and Pete Smayrood's on the phone with us this morning, their executive director, to tell us a little bit more about it. Hey, Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So, this is kind of exciting news. Tell us what's going on up at Wolf Ridge.
Oh my word. You know, Duluth area and Superior area knows us so well. And this is the biggest moves that Wolf Ridge Environmental Learning Center, or many in Duluth still know us as the ELC, the Environmental Learning Center, back from our Isabella days. This is the biggest move since we moved from Isabella to Finland in 88. We are cutting the ribbon today on a brand new staff house, which is where our graduate students reside while they're here for 1 to 3 years, as well as summer camp staff, things like that, and a small maintenance shop, and breaking ground on the renovation of our first original dormitory up here.
So tell us a little bit about the fancy new dorm. That's going to be really exciting because that'll increase your capacity for students to come up and stay.
It will, indeed, and it will just improve conditions. You can imagine that hosting and managing children 2017 is very different than the mid-80s when the building was designed. And yet, rather than just sort of solving some design problems and improving the conditions, we really wanted something inspirational. And that we are the first ever in the state of Minnesota to design and build a building to the highest new international standard of sustainability, something called the Living Building Challenge.
Now, that is different from, we talk here on campus a lot about LEED certified. This is a little bit different.
This is the next step, I would say. LEED is now stepping up in this way, these ways. Everyone knows LEED Gold, LEED Platinum, things like that. And when we began the process, we looked at that. And there were several people on our team that said, we need to go, you know, if anyone's going to do this sort of modeling for future generations, Wolf Ridge is the place that needs to step up and do this. As of the end of 2016, there was only 330-plus projects of this type in the world. Living Building Challenge is similar to LEED Platinum in that net zero energy, net zero water, but it also addresses things about human health and environmental health, about where we get our materials from. It is also very different than LEED in the sense that you have to prove it. And whereas in LEED, you get your score at the end of construction and you're about to occupy your new building that you own and you get your score and did I make gold, did I make platinum? Living Building Challenge, you don't get your score until after 12 months of verification. Did you really achieve net zero? Did you really have the building function in the ways for health and happiness of the occupants that you wanted it to do? It really is a verification and certification, but it's also kind of a philosophy. It really is truly a philosophy about how we can build better than we have in the past for humans and for the environment.
All right, so I'm curious. The first thing you said when you mentioned, you know, how housing kids is different now than it was in the mid-'80s.
Right.
Something that would improve your energy score, but also really, really bum out your students is if there was limited access to the internet or limited cell phone access. Now, obviously, you have to have that for staff, but if there was a way that you walked into the building and the kids were automatically unplugged.
Right.
So how do you deal with that challenge? Because you don't want everybody walking around staring at their phones.
Well, in general, the rule is no cell phones used or available here, and they don't have access to the internet. Now, it is tougher in this day and age because for the majority of people, your cell phone is also your camera.
That's very true.
And so that before that era, it was very easy that we just didn't allow cell phones. We collected, maybe they had them on the bus as they came up, and then you just collect them as they got off the bus. In this day and age, we work with the school. A little bit depends on the age of the students. If you're hosting fifth graders versus 11th graders, well, you've got a little bit different, they're essentially adults in that function. And so you can work with them a bit differently. But in general, it's no phones and into airplane mode, and they use their camera and things like that, and they don't have access to Wi-Fi and that sort of thing. Like this week right now, there are 400 seventh graders here, and they don't have any access to the internet.
How does that work at the beginning? I think we forget what I know. I've certainly managed to adapt to having the phone with me all the time, and when it's not there, it feels kind of goofy. How do the kids adapt?
Actually, very well. And if anyone's talked to you about the trip up here, or your children have been here, that they don't have much free time. They are right off to class. Classes from 8:30 to 11:30 in the morning, 1:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, and 6:15 to 9:15 at night. And so they're out in the woods, they're in the streams, they're in the canoes, they're on the climbing wall, they are out tracking animals. And so that they're so engaged, we really never hear complaints of that sort from the kids. It really doesn't exist.
But you know, photography is such a, especially with digital photography and cell phone photography, it is such a magical way to get people engaged and to have them start looking for things to photograph, the best way to photograph them, the best way to make them show up, the best way to tell a story. Have you found that that's something that really adds to the work that you're trying to do?
Indeed. In one of our, we have a class on climate change, for example, and one of the themes of the class is using phenology, that is the concept of tracking the events in nature through the seasons and looking at the timing of those events. Is the ice coming off the lake earlier in the spring than it does on average? When does the first tree swallow arrive? You know, those sorts of things are phenology events. Well, with the children in that class, we're doing digital photography with them and working with them to document and go out and look for. Well, you know, for example, up here, the maple leaves really have not fully opened yet. And so go out and get a photo, you know, and we teach them basic photo and structure basics for them. And then they go out and get photos of certain events that we should be looking for at this time of year. Are the red maples flowering? Can you find a frog? The frogs may be calling at this time of year. Let's use photography to identify it, but also to capture it, create a memory, create some beauty that we can share amongst the class, and so very much so.
It sounds like trying to find the right photographs to illustrate Larry Weber's backyard almanac every week.
His backyard almanac is an act of phenology, and that's exactly, Wolfridge was one of the founders, along with Larry, of the Minnesota Phenology Association, and so we work with him routinely.
Except Larry's just not a big fan of the whole computer thing, and so trying to get him to scan photographs and mail them to you is an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
We need to get hooked up with your students, it sounds like.
Agreed.
Well, it's what an exciting project, and thank you so much, Pete, for joining us this morning and telling us a little bit more about it. Congratulations to you, and congratulations to all your students, and tell those 400 seventh graders to enjoy.
I will, and I realize anyone is welcome this Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's a public event, and come on in and enjoy and learn a little bit about Living Building Challenge and sustainability in the future. And some of the exciting things, the dorm will be an interactive tool of sustainability for anyone that comes and lives in it, whether it's an adult group, a group of seventh graders, a group of fourth graders, whoever it may be, a family in one of our family weeks. That dorm is going to be a fabulous learning experience, not to mention all of the outdoor activities that occur at Wolfridge.
How long do you think it's going to take until the new dorm is up and running and ready for occupancy?
The new dorm is ready for occupancy in early November.
Early November.
Because it's just a renovation. It's not, the roof will stay, the structural walls stay, all the major utilities are already in place, so it will go quickly.
But it's a renovation. So where are the people staying in the meantime? Do you just have them sleeping in ditches?
That's a great question. We discussed lots of things, but never ditches. But we are working with Bullion RV, and who is bringing in 30 brand new family adventure RVs that are solar powered, ready to roll, all LED lighting, and that the temporary housing will be a small village of tiny homes or RVs down in our parking lot where they will all reside there. Families during the summer primarily will be in there, and then school groups once the school gets back into session September, October.
I could have gotten better pictures in the ditch, I'm just saying. Pete, thanks again for joining us this morning. What a treat to have you with us.
Anytime, Lisa. Thank you.
Pete Smayrud is the executive director of Wolf Ridge, and some exciting renovations and things going on up at the Wolf Ridge Learning Center. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and by Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.